I'm just sitting here watching Kenny Williams doing some work for the University of North Carolina. Not bad. A year ago, he was getting ready for his senior year at L.C. Byrd, and now he's playing for the number one team in college basketball. That's not a bad way to start your college career, huh? Ariel Stevenson's already tearing it up at Wake Forest. Holy cow. Hey, friends, how are you? Welcome into Central Region Now. We are the exclusive podcast of the RBA Sports Network. How are you? Happy Wednesday night, or maybe Thursday, when you download this midweek edition of the podcast. As in this edition of Central Region Now, we're going to talk volleyball. We're going to talk some college basketball. We're going to look ahead a bit to some high school basketball and other winter events. And, of course, we're going to be talking football as we get set for round number two of the postseason Friday night. And everything in the area this time around is a Friday night game. Nothing on Saturday in terms of the VHSL playoffs. Everybody is playing on Friday night. Now, we've got two state championships in the VISAA happening on Saturday afternoon. The weather looks very good for those two games. It'll be the Division I title. It'll be two Richmond teams trying to win back-to-back state championships. Benedictine to host Bishop Ironton in the Division I final. And if memory serves me correctly, that is a 1 o'clock kickoff at Benedictine out in Goochland, not far over the county border from Henrico. And then at 12 noon, an hour earlier, the Division II championship along the banks of the James River as the Trinity Episcopal Titans look for another state crown. And they'll be taking on St. Anne's Belfield, who they defeated in the regular season 40-21. But you throw that out the window when it comes to trying to play for a state championship. So good luck to the cadets. Best of luck to the Titans. Looking forward, hopefully, to watching those two teams hoist trophies this coming Saturday. It's the convergence of seasons because we now have high school basketball scrimmages going on. Pretty much rosters have been set and teams have been made. Varsity, JV, basketball, swimming in Hanover, still a club sport in Henrico, and now getting started in Chesterfield. Congratulations to you swimmers south of the river as you get set for your first year of club competition, building toward VHSL recognition. I'm hoping that that's going to happen in Henrico County very, very, very soon. Of course, Hanover County, Maggie Walker, Colonial Heights, they have been doing swimming for quite some time now. Gymnastics is getting rolling for the teams that do gymnastics, and that's also predominantly a north of the river event, and we'll be watching that as well. Wrestling getting set to get going. You know that Metoica is going to come back strong this year, so will Hanover and others as well, and hopefully this year we'll have good weather the weekend of the state tournament, so a two-day event won't become a one-day event. Let's not open that wound again. Oh, boy. So lots of great action getting ready to get started here in the winter season. Winter officially, the kickoff for all of those sports in terms of regular season play is the Monday after Thanksgiving, November the 30th. Now, we have already announced, and you can find our broadcast schedule at any of our websites, rvasportsnetwork.com, and our county-centric sites, HanoverCountySports.net, HenricoCountySports.net, ChesterfieldCountySports.net. Look on the right side of the page. You'll get the Listen Live link to our football games in conjunction with WHAN Radio. And you also get Listen Live link to our YouTube channel because that's where we broadcast all of our other sports, including basketball. Right now, our coverage begins December 28th with the first round of the Henrico Holiday Hoops Tournament, which does return to the campus of Henrico High School after a year away due to construction. But we're going to have more broadcast being announced for the month of December and into the months of January and then to early February as well. So winter sports teams in the area, we've got you covered. We're looking forward to watching you at work, indoor track, as well as wrestling, gymnastics, swimming, and, of course, boys and girls basketball. Now, you'll recall last year, and it'll be the same again this year, the only polls that we release during winter sports season at the high school level are top 10 polls in boys and girls basketball. The reason is swimming is not an area-wide sport. Neither is gymnastics. Wrestling is very hard to do in that arena because you're in, you know, occasionally you have duels, but you have a lot of tournaments and invitationals that you're in. And then, of course, we get to the postseason and they all split into their different conferences and eventual regions and whatnot. And so from a poll standpoint, we concentrate on basketball during the winter, but that does not mean that we only cover basketball during the winter. We certainly are on top of everything going on in high school sports, but not just that here on the RVA Sports Network. We cover much, much more, especially on our main Twitter feed at the RVA Sportsnet. We cover everything that goes on in the RVA, and right now, of course, that includes college basketball with Richmond underway. In fact, as we speak, they're playing Wake Forest in their annual showdown. VCU, of course, coming up Friday night, MSG. They got Duke coming off the loss to Kentucky. What a huge opportunity. Even if VCU doesn't win that game, what a fantastic opportunity for new head coach Will Wade and for this group of Rams to get a good barometer as to how they are this early in the season against about as quality an opponent that as you can ever find, which is only going to help them going forward through the rest of the non-conference schedule, and most importantly, when they get into the schedule of the Atlantic 10. And speaking of the A-10, holy cow, George Washington. You realize University of Virginia didn't lose their first basketball game last year until my wedding anniversary, which was January 31st. They were 20-plus games into the season before they lost their first game. The 73 points George Washington put up on UVA on Monday night, more than anyone put up on UVA in the regular season in regulation last year. So, yes, UVA has some kinks to work out. But by the same token, it's only one game, and it's this early in the season. So an opportunity for Coach Tony Bennett and company to learn from it and move on from there. It's already been a wacky first week of college basketball. Radford knocking off Georgetown in two overtimes. Georgetown almost beat number 3 Maryland last night. And why don't they play each other? Now, if I can get off subject for just a second, I know this is not RVA-related, but why don't Georgetown and Maryland play on a more regular basis? They had not played a regular season, regularly scheduled game together since 1993, 23 years. And it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, that's just a no-brainer in the D.C. area, especially now with Maryland out in the Big Ten rather than in the ACC. So they, you know, the old ACC, Big East, you know, ramifications and whatnot, that can't happen anymore. And so I just think Georgetown, Maryland should be a no-brainer back to, you know, every year, one year at, you know, Georgetown, one year at Maryland, et cetera, et cetera. But you know how politics are. And unfortunately, the fans are the ones that are deprived of them. So anyway, lots of good college basketball going on in the area. We were at Randolph-Macon on Sunday for the first game under brand-new head coach Josh Merkel. They fell 83-66 to Mary Washington. It's a very young Macon team. They have one senior this year, as opposed to having 8 last year, which really helped them in terms of their 25-game winning streak and eventual 28-3 record. They ended up going all the way to the Elite Eight of the Division III National Tournament before falling in a heartbreaker to Virginia Wesleyan. So it's gonna be a growing pain season at Randolph-Macon. So Yellow Jacket fans just need to be prepared for that. That, you know, what you had last season is likely not what you're going to get this season. But there is a ton of talent on that team, and it's going to be a matter of getting them together and working them together, and for some of them to get experience. Simple as that. For the freshmen especially, Grayson Medulla, the Glen Allen grad, he got his first 2 points of his collegiate career. I forget how many minutes he played, 7, 9, something like that. So they've got a lot of young players, sophomores, who did not play much last year because of so many seniors. But they got some key returnees as well. The sharpshooter, Mike Silverthorne, who broke into the starting lineup halfway through the year last year as a sophomore. Jamie Wilson, the point guard, is back from a torn ACL that caused him to miss all of last year. So he would have been a sophomore and a third point guard option for them last year with Marcus Badger and Rip Engel. And, of course, Rip Engel is back. Michael Taylor and others as well. So, you know, Macon's going to be fine, but they're going to be some growing pains. They've got a couple of games coming up in Maryland at Frostburg State at an invitational tournament this weekend that will help them out for sure. On the women's side, of course, you know that we cover Atlantic 10 women's basketball, culminating with their tournament every year here in the Richmond area at the Coliseum, March 2nd through the 6th. We're the only media outlet in the area that's dedicated to covering all 14 teams so that you know all about them when you head to the Coliseum in early March. Richmond and VCU both are off to good 2-0 starts. VCU gets a road win over Iona on Tuesday night. I love the tweet that Coach Beth O'Boyle sent out after the game. They stopped and got ice cream because they got the win. So they had the picture of the team on the bus with their ice cream in tow, getting set to head back to the RVA. So VCU is 2-0. Richmond is 2-0. Conference favorite George Washington, ranked number 21 in the country, they're 2-0. They're going out to battle number 15 Stanford on the left coast on Saturday afternoon. That will be a very good game. So got our eyes on college hoops. Lots of stuff there covering. And, of course, got our eye also on Virginia Union, Virginia State. Richard Bland retooling after their junior college national championship last year. All right, let's get to high school football. Know that most of you have downloaded this podcast to hear the talk about what's going to happen. We got some great matchups Friday. Obviously, the big one that everyone is talking about the most on social media is round five between Hermitage and LC Byrd. And it's not the fifth time they've ever played each other in the postseason. They met each other a few times prior to this five-year run that began in 2011. Hermitage in the old Division V, Division VI format on November 25th, 2011. That was Thanksgiving weekend 4 years ago. In the division final, beat LC Byrd, headed to the state semifinals, where they lost on a missed extra point by 1 point to Ken Ekinem, who you now know is a defensive player for Virginia Tech, and Centerville. That was Hermitage's last time in the states. They went to the state championship in 2010 and lost. They went to the state semis in 2011 and fell by 1 point. And then each of the last 3 years, 2012 in Group AAA and in 2013 in 5A South, and same last year, they ran into LC Byrd. They lost to the eventual state champion Skyhawks. Now the question is, can they finally do what they did 4 years ago and finally put an end to the Skyhawks' long postseason winning streak, or is LC Byrd going to take another step closer to the four-peat? Now the game's been moved. In case you hadn't heard, we broke the news on Twitter late Wednesday afternoon that the game has been moved to Randolph-Macon College. Still, tickets are $8. Still kickoff at 7 o'clock. And still, our Taylor Luck at TaylorRVASN on Twitter will be at Randolph-Macon College and will live tweet the Hermitage-LC Byrd game. So if you can't get to the game, just follow us on Twitter. And I would suggest for the night to give a follow to Taylor Luck, again, at TaylorRVASN. And he'll be there all night long. We will be, of course, retweeting his coverage on both Chesterfield Sports and Henrico Sports, so you won't miss any of the big action. But if you want to follow our reporter on Twitter for Friday night, at LC Byrd Hermitage, it's at TaylorRVASN. It's really simple. Hermitage has got to find a way to score on this vaunted LC Byrd defense, and they've got to find a way to limit LC Byrd's running game, which they could not do last year. That was the difference in LC Byrd's win in 2014. They ran the ball incredibly effectively on Hermitage at Chester Fritz Thanksgiving Friday a year ago. Now with J.B. Wright and company, can they do it again? We'll find out on Friday. 7 o'clock kick, again, tickets $8, Randolph-Macon College at Day Field. And if you've never been there before, first of all, beautiful facility. It was opened in 2011 after being completely redone. The field used to point east and west. Now it points north and south. It's synthetic field turf surface. So great, you know, great for running, great for cutting, et cetera, et cetera. It's a beautiful facility. If you're going to the game, suggestion is to park. There is a set of old tennis courts across the street and across the railroad track from the football stadium. There is a parking lot next to Day Field, but it's limited. And it'll fill up very fast. And rather than trying street parking in Ashland, in the college, where, you know, some places you can, some you can't, and college will still be in session. It'll be a Friday night, and, you know, some kids will be gone commuting home for the weekend, but a lot of kids' cars are still going to be there. I would suggest going into Ashland, getting to the railroad tracks. If you're coming off of 95, you get off on the Ashland exit, you come up Route 54, you're going to cross over Route 1, you're going to go through the town of Ashland, almost all of it, and then right before you get to the railroad tracks, you want to turn right. And you will pass the Amtrak station, and you'll go into the college campus, you'll go a third of a mile or so, and then you will come to where the field is on your right, you'll see the small parking lot on your right. And at that point, if you make a left across the railroad tracks, you'll see the lighted tennis courts across the railroad tracks to your left. Park there, walk across, It's a short walk. It's a quick walk. It's an easy walk. And then you're there and ready to go. 7 o'clock kick, Hermitage Byrd at Randolph-Macon. Can Hermitage score on L.C. Byrd enough to win the game? We'll find out. The other 5A South matchup is a rematch of one of our Game of the Week broadcasts from this year, October 16th, when Lee Davis goes to Highland Springs. Now, you'll recall Highland Springs went to Lee Davis 4 weeks ago, now 5 weeks ago. Lee Davis was unbeaten at the time, and Highland Springs put a whooping on him, 42-0, and it was not close. Highland Springs was in the middle of that four-game stretch where they posted back-to-back-to-back-to-back shutouts. Lee Davis coming off a very good performance in the win at Freeman last Friday night, but there's just a humongous difference between Douglas Freeman and Highland Springs. I mean, I've seen the eye test. I've watched Highland Springs three times so far this year, and I've seen Douglas Freeman in action this year. Lee Davis, I should say, put on just an incredibly impressive performance in the win on Friday. They're going to have to play their best game of the year by far to have a shot here on Friday night. I'm not saying they're going to lose. What I'm saying is that they have got to get Nathan Evans in the running game going, which they did not in the game October 16th. Highland Springs completely shut down the Lee Davis running game. And for Lee Davis to be successful, they have to successfully run the football. They need a 100-yard game from Nathan Evans. That opens up opportunities for Chase Mumaugh to get Ryzen Weaver, Kemp, Tanner, etc. in action in the passing game. And then obviously the pressure is going to be on the Lee Davis defense to try to hold down Highland Springs' very explosive offense that put up 42 in their first meeting and will look to do it again and wasted no time last week. What I was most impressed about by Highland Springs' win over Meadowbrook last week was that they wasted no time. The game got out of hand early, and Highland Springs made sure it stayed that way. They did not want a repeat of that first-round game from a year earlier where they had to come from behind at the very end to barely beat the number 8 Monarchs. There were no signs of that at Kreider Stadium last Friday. And so Highland Springs, they're on a mission. They've been on a mission for a while. They realize that if they can get the win Friday night, they host the team that comes out of the war between Byrd and Hermitage, and it will be a war. And then they hope to take advantage this year of what they couldn't last year, and that was home field advantage when they had Byrd in that game and they lost late in the second round. So Highland Springs, Lee Davis, that's Friday also at 7 p.m. in 5A South. Highland Springs certainly the favorite, but if the ball bounces their way and they can establish a running game and they can make some timely plays on defense, Lee Davis can certainly make a game of this, and Lee Davis can win this football game, but it's going to be tough. So there we go. Now to 4A East, and that's where we're going to be. Friday night, game of the week, Dinwiddie-Hanover, round 2. Now, ironically enough, our first radio game of the week this season was Hanover at Dinwiddie back on Labor Day weekend, that Friday the 4th of September. It was the night that Hanover came from behind, built a lead second half, and held on to it. Got a 38-27 road win over the Generals. It was the night Clayton Cheatham got injured late in the game. He ended up missing the next 8 games due to an injury. And now it looks like he's going to miss the rematch. As you'll recall from last week, 2 unsportsmanlike conduct penalties against him in the Louisa win, where he accounted for 6 touchdowns for the Hawks. And because of that, he was ejected from the game, and with an ejection comes a suspension. Now, there is also an appeals process. And there have been some media outlets that have reported that that appeal was denied. Now, we have reached out to our sources at Hanover High School. We have not gotten an official word. So we are assuming that those who have been reporting this are reporting it correctly, but we cannot independently confirm it. We'll know for sure on Friday night, but I am expecting for Marcus Bazala, who was named the Conference 20 Offensive Player of the Year, even though he's a backup quarterback and got thrust into that role for 8 weeks with Cheatham's injury, I expect him to be under center on Friday night when they kick it off at 7:30. Dinwiddie, they're not coming for revenge. Yeah, revenge would be sweet if they got the win, but they're coming to advance in the postseason. Remember, they're only 2 years removed from a state championship, and the seniors on this team, some of them were sophomores who were on that team. They may not have contributed much. A few did, but most did not. It's a senior-laden team that won it all in 2013. But there are enough of them on that team that know how it feels that they want to get back to the campus of Liberty University on the second Saturday of December. And so a little payback at Hanover wouldn't be such a bad thing either. And then on top of that, there's a great history of postseason between the Generals and Hawks, and you may not know this, but there was a stretch at the turn of the decade where they pulled a Hermitage L.C. Byrd, and they were playing each other every year. 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011. They played each other four consecutive years in the postseason, and they split the four games. And what's interesting is Hanover would win at Dinwiddie, and Dinwiddie would win at Hanover. We broadcast the 2010 Division V final, where Dinwiddie came up and knocked off then sophomore Sam Rogers and the Hanover Hawks and moved on to the state semifinals. A year later, Hanover beat them in the first round of Division V on the way to their Division V title in a state semis appearance where they fell at South County High School back 4 years ago. So there's, you know, it's not just a rematch of the opening game of the regular season. These teams have seen each other four times in the last 8 years in the postseason. And that's pretty impressive considering, you know, Hanover's only been playing football since 2003. And so the rivalry is renewed again. Friday night, game of the week on 102.9 FM, 1430 AM, WHAN Radio, and, of course, live online with the RVA Sports Network. You can listen at the link at all of our websites, including rvasportsnetwork.com and hanovercountysports.net. Note the special airtime of 7 o'clock. We normally hit the air at 6:30, but this is going to be a 7:30 kick on Friday. So we will hit the air at 7 with the On the Sidelines pregame show powered by Sheehy Ford of Ashland with NBC 12 Sports Director Mark Davis, and we'll kick off at 7:30, which is a little bit of advantage for us because we'll be able to spend that first half hour talking to Mark and also keeping an eye on Twitter, getting you early coverage of the 7 o'clock kicks, including the showdown between Hermitage and L.C. Byrd. So our game of the week is Dinwiddie at Hanover, Friday night, 7 o'clock airtime, 7:30 kick, 102.9 FM, 1430 AM, and online at rvasportsnetwork.com and our family of websites, including hanovercountysports.net. The other 4A East game in that 1920 conference pod, number 4 Eastern View, travels from Culpeper to number 1 Cortland, two 9-2 teams getting set to hook it up on Friday night. Cortland with a nice win in round one, getting a revenge for a loss in the regular season to King George. Eastern View eliminates Chancellor, a rival of Cortland up in Spotsylvania County. So instead of a big Spotsylvania battle in round two, it's Culpeper versus Spotsylvania. So it's very simple. If the Cortland wins and Hanover wins, Hanover goes to Cortland. If Dinwiddie wins and Cortland wins, Dinwiddie goes to Cortland because Cortland's the number one seed. Dinwiddie cannot host the next round because they're the lowest seed in this pod. And there's no cross bracketing in 4A East. So it's down to the wire. The final two teams play, and then the winner out of conferences 19 and 20 gets the winner out of conferences 17 and 18. So Dinwiddie, if they win and Eastern View knocks off Cortland, they'd have to travel to Culpeper on the Friday after Thanksgiving. If Hanover wins, they can host Eastern View, but they'd have to go to Cortland next Friday. Over in conferences 17-18, by the way, they've still got two 11-0 teams in the tournament. Top seed Lake Taylor at 11-0 gets Kings Fork on Friday, and two seed Lafayette gets Heritage Newport News, team that you'll remember because that's the team that beat Hanover in the second round in the old 4A South region a year ago, and we broadcasted that game live here on the Game of the Week 1 year ago. So Lake Taylor, Lafayette looking like they're going to possibly head to a 12-0 versus 12-0 showdown for the right to try to play the survivor of the 1920 subregion and the final four there. Eastern View at Cortland Friday night, and of course our game of the week, Dinwiddie at Hanover. In 3A East, our lone surviving team is Hopewell. The number one seed out of conference is 26-28. They get a rematch from a win last year in the postseason against Skyline, the number four seed. That game is 7 o'clock Friday night at Hopewell. Skyline comes in at 6-5. Hopewell at 9-2 and on a roll after some very impressive late season victories and, of course, the easy win over Petersburg in round one last Saturday. Now, they will cross bracket in 3A East after this round, which means the winner of Hopewell Skyline is going to get the lowest seed remaining, if it's Hopewell, in the next round out of conferences 25 and 27, which would be York, Lakeland, or Pocosin. Hopewell cannot get Phoebus in the next round, the number one seed in the other subregion, because two ones They're not going to cross bracket against each other. It would be the one seed getting the lower seed of the other sub-region. So, again, that's why we say if Hopewell wins, they'll get either York, Lakeland, or Pocosin, the lowest seed remaining. Pocosin's the two seed hosting Lakeland number 6, and number 4, York, is at number 1, Phoebus. In 2A East, got to mention top seed Goochland. Congratulations to them on their round 1 win. They get the 8 seed Greensville County coming up from Emporia area on Friday night, and that kick, of course, at 7 o'clock. Goochland trying to get back to the states where they just were a couple of years ago. And lest we forget 5A North, because that's where we were last week. Holy cow, still getting over the last 3 minutes of the Atlee Mountain View game. And we tweeted out Sunday when our buddy KG Grobix at KG Media, on Twitter at KG Media US, he sent out the video highlights and he used our Game of the Week coverage to augment it. And he does a phenomenal job, and he had some great shots, including a fantastic close-up of Cole Blackman's catch with 6.6 seconds to go to help Atlee knock off Mountain View. The 10th seed beats the 7th seed. Their reward is a trip to Leesburg. They've got Tuscarora on Friday night. Tuscarora 11-0, one of two unbeaten teams left in the region. They're the 2 seed because Massaponics at 11-0, up near Fredericksburg in Spotsylvania County, they are the number 1 seed. They got Potomac Falls in the second round this week. Now, the winner of Atlee Tuscarora will get the winner of North Stafford and Brook Point in a third round action or a state quarterfinal. Brook Point 9-2, Stafford at 8-3. That game is at Brook Point, the 3 seed. Atlee, the lowest seed remaining in 5A North. And Tuscarora, for you Atlee fans listening here to Central Region Now, you'll recall last year, their big running back, Noah Reimers, led them to the state championship. They led L.C. Byrd at the half, but couldn't hold the lead, and Byrd won the third straight title. And Reimers made his way to Harvard University. Well, he is gone, but he has been replaced. In their 42-7 win over P.H. Roanoke in round 1 last week, they scored 7 in the first, and then they rolled to 28 in the second for a 35-0 halftime lead. They rushed for 373 yards. You've got the replacement, the name you need to know Friday night, Taj Malice Neely. 16 carries, 149 yards, one touchdown. And their quarterback, Daniel Smith, he threw for 163 and 2 scores. And he also rushed for 101 yards on 6 carries and scored twice on the ground. So a team that is a bit similar to Mountain View in the sense that they have a quarterback who is a dual threat. And they have a main tailback, as Collison Coffey was last week for Mountain View, that they have to keep an eye on. They're going to have to make sure that that there's not a Trey Coghill that gets loose consistently, such as Coghill did receiving-wise for Mountain View last week. He was the player who scored the 2 touchdowns in that final frantic sequence for the Wildcats. So Tuscarora looking to go to 12-0, trying to get back to the 5A state championship game and do what they couldn't do last year, and that's win the title. And Atlee is their opponent on Friday night. That's a 7 o'clock kick up at Tuscarora High School. 6A South, we save this for last because a couple of really interesting games coming up in conferences 3 and 4 in the second round. First of all, let's talk about Thomas Dale. They've got to hit the road, and they got to go to C.D. Hilton. Now, last year, C.D. Hilton was the 1 seed in this 8-team bracket, and they were the team that got knocked off by James River in round 1. So first things first, There's unfinished business for C.D. Hilton because last year they thought that they had a team that would go far in the postseason and they were one and done. So first things first, they had to take care of business last week and they did without a problem. Now they have Thomas Dale coming in. Thomas Dale coming off a very nice win over Woodbridge, by the way, in round 1. And speaking of Hilton, here's some of what they've encountered this year. They had a win over Woodbridge in late September, 41-7, if you want to talk about common opponents between Dale and Hilton. They survived a 4-overtime game against Freedom the following week to start October. They lost to Colonial Forge. Their other loss of the season was opening day at Battlefield. But since then, they beat River Bend by 3. We'll talk more about them in a moment. When they were playing for playoff position, knowing they couldn't get the 1 seed behind Colonial Forge, and they wanted to clinch the 2 seed here in this bracket, they destroyed Forest Park in the season finale, 52-0. And then they turned around, played Forest Park again, this time at home, got the win 28-14. to set up the match with Thomas Dale. Dale coming in at 7-4, and with that win against Woodbridge, seems to have righted the ship a bit after a really, really difficult final 2-3 weeks of the regular season, where Thomas Dale looked like they could go in as 8-2 or maybe even 9-1, and then they stumbled down the stretch. But now they have a chance to just erase all of that. If they can knock off the 2 seed, they're guaranteed to host the next round, because 6A South this year is not cross-bracketing. Remember last year they cross-bracketed, and the low seed from conferences 3 and 4 got the high seed from 1-2, and James River ended up having to go to Ocean Lakes, and that ended their season quickly there on Thanksgiving Friday. Well, 6A South is not cross-bracketing this year, so the winner of Thomas Dale and C.D. Hilton gets the winner of the other game in the second round, River Bend and Cosby. And Thomas Dale, if they win, would be the high remaining seed, which means Thomas Dale would get the home game next Friday night. And if it was against Cosby, it would be a rematch of our very first game of the week that we had online back on August the 28th, when Dale defeated Cosby in the season opener for both teams 30-17. But first things first, Cosby's got to get past River Bend. And this is a battle. This is a very interesting battle, and it's going to be underrated. And this could be one of the best games Friday night across the Commonwealth of Virginia. You've got Cosby coming in. You know, they went into that James River game October 23rd fighting for a postseason berth. They started a winning streak that night that has now reached 4 games. That included a win over their rival, James River. And that includes now back-to-back wins over a very talented Manchester team. One in the regular season finale to move up to the 5 seed. Which gave them a second shot against Manchester at Manchester last Friday, and they rushed their way to the win. Cosby's running attack doing phenomenal things right now. But River Bend, let me tell you what's happened to them the last few weeks, okay? They started the regular season with back-to-back losses, close losses, to Chancellor and the number one seed in 4A East, conferences 19 and 20, Cortland. It was 7-6. They lost to Massaponics, who, of course, is unbeaten. And so they were 0-3. They come up against Battlefield, and they get a big win, 13-10. Then they go to Colonial Forge, and they lose that one by 3, 17-14. So they are now looking at a 1-4 start, okay? But the losses were by 3 points, 1 point, 3 points. The only blowout was the loss to Massaponics. They lost 42-14. They've got Forest Park. They go there on October 5th. They played a Monday night game there because of all the weather that first weekend. They lost by 1 point. So they're 4-1, they're 1-4, but they could easily be 4-1. So a lot of people kind of just forgot about and dismissed River Bend, thinking, okay, they're just a 500 team trying to get into the postseason. Well, here's what they did after that. They beat Woodbridge, they beat Freedom, they beat Garfield, no problem there. Garfield had a really rough season. Then they had C.D. Hilton, and it was a home game. And they lost by 3. And that ended their season at 5-5. And they had to sit November 6th, watch all the other action take place, and find out whether they would make the postseason. And they did as a number one seed. And who did they get? Colonial Forge, who they lost to by 3 points back on September 25th. And guess what? In another defensive battle, they get the win. They lost to them 17-14. They beat them last Friday 16-14. And number one went down. River Bend, they may be coming in to this game, 1-2-3-4-5 versus 1-2-3-4-5-6. They may be coming in at 5-6, but they possibly are the best 5-6 team in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And they will give Cosby everything and more. Now, the thing I know about Cosby is that they are not going to overlook anybody. They are going to, at this stretch of the season, they have been playing postseason football now for 4 weeks. And so nothing's going to change for them. And if they can get Joe Hunt and company rolling in the running game, and they can control the line of scrimmage and control the clock, they can do good things and they can get the win. But River Bend is going to come in and give Cosby all they can handle. And like I said, that might be one of the best matchups on the docket this Friday night. We're going to be keeping our eye on that River Bend Cosby game, especially since if Dale can get the win over C.D. Hilton on the road, the winner of River Bend Cosby would go to Thomas Dale next Friday the 27th in a state quarterfinal. So don't forget, this week's the second week of 5. If you win this week, if you're in an 8-team pod, you're in your sub-region final Thanksgiving weekend, which is a de facto state quarterfinal. And in fact, on Twitter, we're probably going to refer to them as state quarterfinals. It's just easier to do. And then, of course, if you win next week and you start to play December football, you're in the state semis and one win away from your respective location for 5A and 6A, University of Virginia, 3A and 4A, Liberty University, and I believe Radford is hosting 1A and 2A this year. So Goochland, Essex, that's where they're hoping to end up on the 12th of December. All right, got to talk some volleyball before we wrap this edition of Central Region Now up here from the RBA Sports Network. We have four area teams playing for state championships this weekend at the Siegel Center, and two of them are playing each other. In fact, it's the first state title to be crowned Friday, 1 p.m. at Siegel. It'll be round four. Remember last year in the 4A State Boys Championship, the first time it was ever held, it was Midlothian and Hanover playing for, at that point, the fourth time that season. And Midlothian got the win in a five-set thriller and ended up winning three out of the four. Now it's going to be Colonial Heights and Midlothian in a very similar circumstance, putting it up for the fourth and final time, and the winner gets the state trophy. It's a 1 p.m. start at the Siegel Center. Tickets for the state finals are $10. They are available at the door. They are also available online, and we tweeted out a link to that last night on both Chesterfield Sports and on the RVA Sportsnet for our fans in Colonial Heights. We will send out another tweet, and we'll also put up a link to that on our websites as well. So Midlow, Colonial Heights, you could get your tickets early. Same thing for James River and Goochland. We'll talk about them in just a moment. So 4A Boys State Final, 1 o'clock on Friday. We'll be there. So follow us on Twitter at Chesterfield Sports or at the RVA Sportsnet if you're a Colonial Heights fan, and we'll have live tweet coverage for you, update you on what's happening in the 4A State Championship. Then, a little bit after that, at 5, it's scheduled for 5. If the first two matches go a little long, it could be after 5. The James River Boys will play for the 6A State Championship. And again, tickets $10, scheduled for a 5 p.m. start on Friday as the Rapids, who of course eliminated in the state semis the defending state champions from last year, and that of course was Cox. James River gets their chance to hoist the trophy, but they got to battle Ocean Lakes, and that will come up on Friday at 5 p.m. And then Saturday, it is the 2A Girls State Championship, and the undefeated Goochland Bulldogs, who swept Glenvar Tuesday night in the 2A state semis, will get Marion Senior High School from down in Southwest Virginia. They swept Stewart's Draft. Goochland has lost one set this year. One came in the postseason. We ranked them in our Super 6 poll about the midway point of the regular season, and they stayed ranked until the end of the regular season. And they have definitely proven us right, but that's not what important. What's important is that they're getting the recognition that they deserve as they go for an undefeated season, but more importantly for the Bulldogs, a state championship. They tee it up at 1 o'clock Saturday at the Siegel Center. Bulldogs and Marion for the 2A Girls State Championship. And of course, there's only three boys titles, 4A, 5A, 6A. There are, of course, six girls, and some of them will be contested. I think one of them gets contested on Friday night, and then the rest of the girls on Saturday. And we had some teams come oh so close. Oh, so close. There were two teams that, frankly, I had kind of put a beat on at the start of the season thinking we could see them at Siegel, and they were the Hanover girls and the Mills Godwin girls volleyball teams, and they both played for a slot at Siegel Tuesday night, and they both fell on the road. Mills Godwin to Potomac Falls in four sets. That was the team that also eliminated Atlee earlier in the 5A North Region tournament. And Hanover had to go all the way up to Loudoun County, and they fell in three sets, and they fall a game short of the state tournament. Fantastic run for that group of seniors for Hanover. Leela Hainsworth, Miranda Hall, Rebecca Hoover, Kendall Pulley. If I start naming names, I'm going to forget somebody, and I don't mean to. They've played together, some of them on that varsity squad, since their freshman year in 2012. We've watched them grow in front of our eyes, and they were always kind of pointing to this year as the year where it would all come together, and it was so close, so close. And we salute them on a fantastic season. Best one since Kristen Carpenter led Hanover to the state championship nearly a decade ago. If you don't know, Kristen, the daughter of Atlee head coach Curtis Carpenter, who ended up having a phenomenal college career up at Penn State. And for Mills Godwin, I feel bad, really bad for Mackenzie Brewer. Loved watching her play. She had a phenomenal career for the Eagles. She is now on her way to the University of Mary Washington. So we'll get to see her over the next 4 years. I'm sure that her and Randolph-Macon, those teams will collide at some point here in the latter part of the decade. So we're not the end of watching Mac Brew on Twitter. Looking forward to watching her again. But everybody else for Godwin comes back next year. Saxman's back. Bukina's back. Both Swans are back. Gabby and Ayana. Ayana already committed to Ohio State University when her playing days at Godwin are done. So Mills Godwin, a force to be reckoned with coming up. And then speaking of Godwin, we were at their boys 5A state semifinal last night. Oh my Lord, what a classic that was. The Eagles got up in front 2-0, and you know, Godwin fans were on the, you know, right on the edge of their seats. The student section was real and thought they were going to, you know, punch their ticket for Saturday. But late second set, Mari put on a run to cut the margin of victory. And that, when we look back at that match, was when Mari began to make the turn. And what happened is there were two players for Mari, led by Shane Limbaugh. Their service work was incredible. The ability to send the ball over with power, with agility, and with an angle that put the ball just over the net, wouldn't touch the net, occasionally would, but most of the time wouldn't touch the net, but then go straight down. And then Limbaugh's work in the kill on the offensive attack on the corners. His vertical leap has got to be 38 inches, maybe more. It's just how he's only 6'1", but the height he was getting, and he seemed to jump higher as the match went on. And by set five, we talked about it on Twitter on Henrico Sports. I said, they got to stop Limbaugh in the serve and on the attack if they want to win set five. And it was nip and tuck all the way to 10-10, 11-11, and that's when Mari poured it on at the end. Limbaugh got a couple of key points, and they won it 15-12. A personal shout-out to Adam Smith, who was injured for Godwin late in the regular season. One of the reasons why they lost at Atlee at a game we covered late in the year, one of the few matches they lost all year long. He was back in action for this championship run. He played his heart out. He was absolutely exhausted. They had to help him off the court last night after the match was over. Adam, you have mad respect and mad props from me, my friend. Just you talk about the definition of giving it all on the court. He did. And so did those Eagles. They oh, man, what a night of volleyball that was. But congratulations to Mari. They're going to take on Princess Anne for the 5A state title Friday afternoon. So, unfortunately, both Godwin teams eliminated state semis. Hanover girls, also the Atlee boys. Game effort against the 5A state champs on their home floor Tuesday night, but they fall to Princess Anne in four sets. Congratulations to Eric Rohr of Atlee, named first team all 5A South Region. Owen Ward, second team All-Region. There were also All-Region accolades for players for Mills Godwin, Lee Davis, Douglas Freeman, and we had them all out on Twitter last night. So if you didn't see them, go to our timelines at Henrico Sports or at Hanover Sports. And we've got the 5A South Region volleyball accolades up there. And Taylor McNeely of LC Bird also got region honors when they released on Tuesday night. So congratulations to them. We've got some all-conference football teams up at rbasportsnetwork.com. You can go there and look at them or look at the links to go to see them. We're going to get some more up as we get them. And a quick housekeeping note as we close up this edition of the podcast. A couple of things. This just bears reminding every once in a while. If you don't see your score, it's probably because coach or the people who were supposed to be getting it to us hasn't done it. So if you're a player or a team manager or you're a fan and you went to a game and you're like, okay, the game's over and we won, but I haven't seen the game final on Twitter yet, get the information to us. We'll give you the attribution. We'll credit you. We'll send it to you. That's how the RBA Sports Network works. We are not a professional organization owned by a billionaire. We are a family-run organic operation that counts on a network of wonderful coaches, assistants, trainers, parents, students, athletic directors, and others who feed us information from places we are not at as we feed you the information from where we are. So please, the network's open to you if you're interested in being a part of it and to report scores at the games that you're at. Feel free to do so. Also, for preview information, we have sent out emails and throughout the Richmond area to athletic directors for information for your teams and the winter sports, basketball, and the rest. So make sure you check with your coach because we want to feature your team. We want to preview your team either online or on a podcast or on Twitter. So make sure you remind them to fill out the RBA Sports Network form that was sent to them. Should have received it last week. All right, friends. So our plans are Friday night, we're at Dinwiddie at Hanover. Coverage at 7, kick at 7:30 on radio, 102.9 FM, 1430 AM, online, rvasportsnetwork.com, hanovercountysports.net, and our other websites, too. You can find the link in ricocountysports.net and chesterfieldcountysports.net. We're going to take some time over the next 24 to 48 hours and continue to build out and work our winter sports schedule. And continue to also build out and work our online broadcast schedule for basketball. As we have several tournaments scheduled late December and mid-January, we're back with the good folks at StatVA.com, their Girls Classic over at Highland Springs. We've got a Monick and Cosby Showdown, Girls State Champions against each other January 4th live here on the network, and we'll be adding broadcast as well. And yes, we will do another Central Region Now podcast on Friday night after getting back from Hanover. We will debrief you on everything that happened in second round action and look ahead to state quarterfinal Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Another Central Region Now will be up and running just after midnight or so on Friday night. So if you're up late, you can download it then, or you can start your Saturday with us. We'll have links available on Twitter, and of course, our podcasts are always on our websites, always, 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 at the top of all four of them. So just go to rvasportsnetwork.com, chesterfieldcountysports.net, henricocountysports.net, or hanovercountysports.net, and you'll always find the podcast at the top of the page, including this one as soon as I edit it and download it and put it up. Ariel Stevenson, ACC Rookie of the Week, after leading Wake in scoring in their opener last Friday night, a win, the 21 points for the Prince George grad. She has double figures again for them. Wake Forest is 3-0. They were picked to finish 14th in the ACC. I think that thing's going to get tough when they get in conference play come January, but I think Wake might give some people a run for their money. Destiny Walker with 6 points in the win over Davidson. Shout out to the Hermitage grad as well. All right, friends, thanks for being with us on Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RBA Sports Network. Rob Witham saying talk to you Friday night from Hanover, and we'll see you on the sidelines. Have a great week, everybody.